This is The Pole, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about sleep and rest. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Rest often feels like a luxury, like idle time that could be used to do more important things. For a Philadelphia physician, rest seemed out of the question during the early part of the pandemic. It seemed like the world was on fire, and this was a time to step up. But she learned an important lesson about the messages our bodies send us and the need to recharge. Nina Feldman has this story.
In June of 2020, Shreya Kangovi made this entry in her diary.
Saturated, COVID, unrest, I'm sick, I have a helicopter in my brain.
The pandemic was in full swing. Demonstrations against racism were erupting in the streets of Philadelphia where she lives. And Shreya felt like she was falling apart. Shreya had gotten COVID in April. 2 months later, she was still not feeling better. She felt this was no time to take a break. She had work to do. Shreya works at a health clinic for underserved patients. She also runs a center for community health workers at the University of Pennsylvania. Community health workers help people in their neighborhoods set health goals and then work to achieve them.
Their job is to get to know people, figure out what they need in order to improve their health, and then do those things, whether it's battling an eviction notice or planting an urban garden or, getting people good medical care.
With so many new questions about COVID and with everyone stuck at home, these services were in high demand. Shreya had to figure out how her team could do the job safely. And she also felt like this moment could be a huge opportunity for her cause to gain wider public recognition.
There were bread lines. There was massive economic insecurity. There was mental health crises. These are the kinds of things that community health workers address.
For Shreya, this was not a time to take a step back. So she tried to power through her lingering symptoms. Her hair was falling out. Her sinuses were swollen. She was always exhausted. She felt a constant buzzing restlessness coursing through her body. Her brain was foggy.
I always take notes when I'm on calls and things like that, and I realized that I had written in my notebook from the back to the front, which is odd. It's something I've never done.
But the single biggest issue plaguing Shreya was her sleep.
Well, my sleep felt like dozing on a bus. I would drift off and still be able to trace the thought pattern that I was having before I had fallen asleep. I didn't dream, I just kept thinking. And I would wake up in between these dozes almost with an electric jolt of energy. I was wide awake 20 times a night.
In her diary, Shreya drew a diagram of how she imagined her sleep looked.
And it was a horizontal line that was broken up by these bright yellow electric jolts every hour or two. And I, beneath that, drew a picture of my old sleep. And it was this beautiful kind of green ballooning architecture, and I wrote in there, tonight I'm going to have this good sleep. I'm going to dream of walking through the marshes or, these nice dreams that I used to have.
This was late April 2020. Everything was remote, so she kept doing Zoom meetings and phone calls. Even though she knew something was wrong, nobody else did.
I felt like I was trapped in a snow globe.
Long COVID hadn't been identified as a thing yet. So there was nothing for her to point to and say, I have that. She wondered if her symptoms were even real.
I also had a 1- and a 2-year-old at the time. And so, when I would complain to friends or family members that I was exhausted, they'd be like, hashtag mom life. This is just what you're supposed to be feeling.
This is just what you're supposed to be feeling. Shreya really internalized that. She felt like she had to keep working for her patients. In her mind, if they were suffering, it felt like she could put up with some suffering, too.
I have patients that do way more with way harder circumstances. So I would think about, my patients and what they've been able to overcome. I lost a lot of patients to COVID, and people who've lost family members and they still take care of their kids and they get out of bed and they take the subway to work. And I was like, I'm doing this, you know, I'm going to do this.
Shreya's colleagues say she's always brought this energy to her work. Mary White is a community health worker who's been working with Shreya for more than a decade. She says Shreya doesn't mess around.
Her famous saying is, do what you say you're going to do. Don't leave people hanging. You know, follow up with them. Everything is concise. Everything has to be done, you know, like in, I would say, a perfect way, near perfect as you can get, because we're dealing with people's lives.
Shreya considers Mary a mentor, but she didn't tell her how sick she was. She didn't even really tell her mom, Sita, who lived nearby in New Jersey. They talked on the phone most days. Sita says sometimes Shreya would complain. She felt tired or not like herself.
But next day she'll say, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. So, you know, and she was so busy, so crazily busy. She hardly came on the phone even when they did FaceTime the few times. It was always the children, and then she'll say, I have something to do. Because there was no babysitter, no nobody.
This went on for months. It wasn't until Shreya and her parents were all vaccinated and could finally see each other in person that Sita realized just how sick her daughter had been all along.
I was horrified. She had sunken cheeks. There were deep, dark circles under her eyes. She had lost weight. She's generally a very tough cookie, but she was very ill.
Shreya still wasn't sleeping. She knew it was the one thing her body needed to recharge. But it just wouldn't come. And it was starting to change her. She lost her sense of joy. Everything faded to gray. She was becoming delusional.
I would see, like, rats scurrying on the floor some days. Like, I almost, it was like an Iditarod-style, like, sleep deprivation.
You're having hallucinations.
I mean, I would just be like, what's that? And I would feel like, was that a mouse? And, you know, nobody else saw the mouse.
Shreya says, in a way, she was too tired to rest.
That's why I couldn't slow down or stop working, because I was just like, if I can't sleep, and if I just sit here, like, I'm just going to feel exhausted. So I just kept going. It was my Dante's circle of hell.
And then one day, the physical exhaustion pushed her to a point that would have been unthinkable just a few months ago. She called her mom and told her, she wanted to quit her job.
The quit thing was just like, I think I'm just going to quit. You know, it was more of a, okay, I'm just going to die or quit.
This was so unlike her daughter that Sita knew she had to intervene. Sita suggested that she and her husband move in to help watch the kids and take care of things around the house. There wasn't room for everyone in Shreya's row house, so she and her husband put their place on the market and bought a bigger home where everyone could fit comfortably. Even after the move, Shreya kept pushing herself. Sita says her daughter's always been this way.
I've seen her from childhood. She is deeply affected by social issues of injustice. I remember one incident when she was very young, and in the school bus, some kids were bullying a child who was suffering from asthma. So they took away his inhaler. And Shreya got very mad. She was also a young girl. And so she yelled at them and got the inhaler back to the kid. She came home crying, I want to help all these people.
Sita saw the same frustration building in her daughter as when she was a little girl.
So I kept telling her, honey, you are so weak now. Only if you are strong, you can help and lift others. If you are like this, people, other people have to step in to help you. And you have to take some downtime, let alone humans, even computers need downtime.
Sita is a spiritual person and tried to appeal to her daughter using the stories of Hindu saints, which she knows and loves.
I told her about Ramana Maharshi. He's a great saint from India. He always used to say, you know, for individuals to have their own sense of doership is like a passenger sitting in a train with a luggage on his head. The train will take you to the destination. The train will take the luggage to the destination. But you might as well take the load off your head and sit at ease.
And so finally, after much hand-wringing and concern that she was abandoning her team, Shreya decided to take a break. long COVID had been identified by now, so she could name the thing that was happening to her. She announced she was taking a sabbatical from her job. No one had realized how sick she was until she told them. But they weren't mad she was leaving, like she was afraid they would be. If anything, they just wished she'd done it sooner.
She had a very hard time, relaxing. She felt very guilty about walking away from her fight.
Slowly, very, very slowly, Shreya gave in to rest. By now, it had been almost a year since she'd gotten COVID. First, she started going to the doctor's appointments she hadn't made time for before. She saw a long COVID specialist who asked her to do a memory exercise where she recalled 5 words he had just listed for her. She could only remember 1. He gave her a hint.
He said one of them was a body part. What was it? I still couldn't get it. And he said, was it a face, arm, or leg? And I still couldn't get it. And while I was trying to access that word, I felt this feeling that I had been feeling throughout my day. You know, it was this almost a migraine pre-aura. It felt like, this is absurd, but it felt like a soft piece of bread was covering my brain. But yeah, and it was uncomfortable. You know, it was almost like revving a car on neutral.
Maybe most importantly, she started seeing Indira Guru Bhagavatula. She's a sleep doctor.
To hear that how hard she was trying and powering through on top of what she was actually dealing with, it was heartbreaking to watch.
Sleep disorders caused by long COVID are new, so doctors don't know much about what causes them. But there are a few theories about what might be going on.
For a subset of people, maybe there's lingering virus and they just haven't overcome all of it yet.
Another possibility is that the fatigue is caused by an autoimmune response.
And it's possible there's crossover between the antibodies that fight the virus with antibodies that then also attack native cells or tissues that are native to your body. So you end up having the sense of achiness or fatigue or exhaustion with that as well.
Dr. G and her team created a diagram of Shreya's sleep. It looked remarkably similar to the drawing that Shreya had made herself in her diary.
It showed that I was having 45 arousals per hour. So, yeah, I was dozing on a bus for a whole year.
Dr. G and her team found that a couple of things were happening with Shreya's sleep. One was that she was spending too much time in the shallow, transitional phase of sleep and not enough time in the deep, rejuvenating phase. And the other strange thing was that she was sliding back and forth between the phases of sleep way more often than normal. Now, Dr. G was very careful not to draw any firm conclusions from this, but it did give her some clues about what could be going on. She wondered, was it possible that the brain cells that regulate sleep phases had been damaged? This can happen with other sleep disorders, like narcolepsy. In that case, instead of waking up in the middle of the night without warning, people fall asleep suddenly in the middle of the day. Dr. G wondered if something similar was happening here, if the virus, or an autoimmune response, might actually have damaged some cells in Shreya's brain that regulate the sleep phases.
That completely sounded right to me, because it just felt like my sleep was unhinged at the seams, and it was just popping open every time I had to connect a sleep cycle.
The sleep diagram showed that Shreya was finally able to enter into a deep sleep by the early morning hours, starting around 6 a.m. The thing is, that was right when she needed to wake up to take care of her kids.
That's why I felt like
That's
you were going to
die. Like I was going to die.
But now, with her parents in the house, she could finally sleep in.
And so if I look back and at my recovery, probably the single most useful intervention was having my parents watch my kids from like 6 to 8 so I could sleep until 8.
Shreya started to sleep more and more. You know how growing up, if you got a bad night's sleep, your parents would always say you needed to catch up the next night? Well, that's what Shreya was doing. Big time. There was a period when she was sleeping 16, 17, 18 hours a day. Dr. G says sleep debt is a real thing. There is a well you can dip into and repay later. But she says you can't live on borrowed sleep forever. At a certain point, you do max out. Shreya thinks she came really, really close to that point.
think if I hadn't taken time off, somehow I think I would have died. Like, there's this one yoga pose called Shavasana, which is like the corpse pose. And I would just be like, I'm very close to this. Like, I feel very close to death.
And actually, feeling this close to death made a profound change on Shreya.
It's kind of this stabilizing thing. You know, in America, we don't like to talk about death a lot. But like, you know, in Hinduism and Buddhism, you talk about death all the time. Like, it's the obvious, it's the only certainty.
With her time off, she let her mind wander. She relinquished control.
That's very unusual for me, you know, because I'm always like, okay, here's the next thing, and here's the next thing, and here's the next thing. And it was a very different, spacious feeling.
Did your mind being sort of allowed to just meander, did it take you anywhere new or unexpected?
No, it didn't. And in fact, it allowed me to get less caught up in my thoughts. It's just like your thoughts just wander, and you're like, there's something deeper than your thoughts, because they're just wandering, and yet there's this grounded feeling underneath of them.
She spent time reading the Gita, one of the holy scriptures of Hinduism. She did yoga and paged through the history books of ancient Hindu art.
I saw this picture of a sculpture of a man in a yoga pose from India. And he's in, you know, the lotus posture, but his arms are made of like a fishbone or something, like a little bone. And the caption said, third millennia BC. Like, third millennia BC. And there's civilizations beneath our feet, like 6 feet under us. There are people who have fought the fight and struggled, and I'm like marching through my day, like all pissed and righteous about the thing that I'm doing right now. And I was like, that's stupid. I had previously been equating, you know, being angry and suffering, my own suffering, with like leveling the playing field with my patients. Like, I wanted to suffer as much as they were suffering, and like, I just was very privileged and lucky, so like, my suffering was going to come from just beating myself up over, you know, getting the work done.
She was starting to realize that suffering for suffering's sake wasn't getting her anywhere. This is what her mom had been trying to tell her.
Don't worry about all the darkness in the world. You just light your own candle and move ahead.
Shreya's back at work now. She wouldn't say she's fully recovered. She still has bad days, bad weeks. But she's calmer, more balanced. Her mom says so too, and so does Mary, her mentor. During the pandemic, the country didn't turn its healthcare system inside out to embrace community health workers as the new model for medicine. But when Shreya went on sabbatical, the community health workers on her team did just fine. In fact, they thrived. She was proud of them. She was humbled. It was the reminder she needed that the world can go on without her. It always has.
That was Nina Feldman reporting.